Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus. The Old Testament book of Exodus in chapter number 20. We're marching steadily and surely through the Ten Commandments. And we were encouraging people during the Sunday school not only to listen to the Ten Commandments, but also to start memorizing the Ten Commandments. And then we were explaining how most Christians could not name all ten, especially in order, but yet these Ten Commandments are so important. As we find our way to the book of Exodus in chapter number 20, we have what is commonly called the Ten Commandments. And I want to remind you that we always preface these Ten Commandments with what God said in verse number 2, I am the Lord thy God. Remember, the only thing that makes something right or wrong is because God said it was wrong. And so these aren't just a list of suggestions or things that would be nice, but these are what God says He commands us to do. And then as we go through there, we study, we realize that we can't keep them. That stamped over the Ten Commandments in big, bold letters should be, I need Jesus. And that's what the Ten Commandments bring us to, our knowledge and our need of Jesus Christ. If you don't mind, let's read through the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and starting at verse 1. Exodus 20 and verse 1, the Word of God says this, And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I am the Lord thy God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I am the Lord thy God, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not kill. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not commit adultery. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not steal. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus in chapter 20? Exodus in 20, and notice in verse number 8, what we commonly call the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And with the Lord's help, we'd like to preach on the fourth commandment about keeping the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you now, we're just asking that you would give us grace, that you would give us mercy, that you would help us to come to an understanding of whom you are, that we could see the importance of the Sabbath day. We could see the importance of the Lord's day as you've turned it into. We could see the importance of setting aside time to be refreshed in you. I'm asking that you would give understanding to each of these folks, that you would clear up any misnomers, that you would help us to take the time to honor this day. Lord, forgive us for breaking this commandment continually. Again, I recognize in my own self that I don't have the health or strength of the mind to preach this as I ought, that you're going to have to do it through me. So the best I know how, I give myself to you and beg that you fill me with your precious spirit, that you could be a blessing to these dear, sweet folks today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we come up to what is commonly called the fourth commandment, the Bible clearly says in verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, that's a small verse, but to be honest, this is the verse that most people violate the most. Now, someone may try to differentiate it and say, listen here, isn't this the formal law? Isn't this the other things? Isn't this not applicable to us? It is very applicable. It's still within the Ten Commandments. Someone may put an objection that says, well, wait a second. Do you know that the fourth commandment is the only commandment not to be repeated inside of the New Testament? That is a true statement. That the Sabbath day, to keep the Sabbath day, to remember the Sabbath day, is not found in the New Testament as a commandment. However, the principle still applies, and I'll show you that here in a bit. This is something that's still important to God, that He puts emphasis over it over and over and over. And so let's examine this fourth commandment here. Now, where does it come from? Notice again in verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, excuse me, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Here it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. It is in Genesis chapter 2 that God Himself establishes the principle of the Sabbath day. That He said, 6 days you can work, but on the Sabbath, I want you to rest. We'll talk about that word rest in a bit. It means a little bit different than just laying around, lounging around all day. But God says, this is a day that I've asked to give to me. Because God is worth a day, don't you think? That we're supposed to tithe off of our money. We're supposed to tithe off of our time. Why not give time to God? And God says, I'm asking for a day where you put your attention on me. Where you set aside the labors that you have to get done. And spend some time with me. Now, because of this, this is why we have our calendar kind of set up as it is. But He said, 6 days you could work. One day you give to me. And God says, here's my example. I created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh, I rested. Now, was that because God was tired? No, it's because God was completed with His work. But we're not God. We're not done with our stuff. But we need to take a time where we set it apart and recharge ourselves in the Lord. Take some time to be with Him. Throughout history, because the seventh-day work week has always been associated with Bible, it's always been associated with God, that people who hate God have tried to get rid of God in their society, and one of the things they tried to do was get rid of the seven-day calendar that we have. They tried to go to what is a 10-day calendar, where you work 9 days, then you got a day off, and then you work 9 days, and then you rest it, and then work 9 days. They tried this twice in history in big form. One was during the 1800s, during the French Revolution. And the French Revolution, it was because of what was called the Enlightenment, even though it wasn't giving light, it was giving more darkness. But they said, look, we're free from God, we're free from the tenets of religion, let's man think for itself, and in order to get rid of God, let's change everything up, and let's go to a 10-day work week. Well, the French Revolution, they tried that, and they found something very interesting, that people cannot go on that type of schedule for long periods of time. They just cannot work like that. Extend it. Now, some individuals might, but most people, society as a whole, could not sustain it. And so it failed, along with some of the other things in the French Revolution that they tried to get rid of God. Once again, this experiment was tried in the 1950s by Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin was, of course, a follower of communism. And in communism, it states there is no God and that they reject all ideas of religion. And so what they did in order to erase religion, they had already gotten rid of Bibles. They already banned preachers and everything else. They said, let's get rid of God in the calendar. And once again, they went to a 10-day calendar. And once again, it was a big failure because people could not work a sustained work week like that consistently. They just could not manage it. And so even Joseph Stalin had to go back to a 7-day work week and a 7-day calendar because this is how God designed us. After all, God made us and He knows how we work. He knows what our body needs. He knows that we need to take a time of refreshing in the Lord. Now, once again, I'm going to define what rest is. That it is not getting in your hammock and then going to sleep all day. It's giving a day of refreshing yourself in the Lord, worshiping Him and laboring in the work for Him. That it's for Him. It's for Him. Now, Jesus Himself lived under the law, and Jesus always obeyed the law. Whenever you read the New Testament accounts, you need to remember that that is not totally New Testament times. The gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is still living under the law. Anytime before Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven and when He rose again, they were still living under the law, and they had to obey the tenets, the practices of the law. You even see this when Jesus was born. Mary and Joseph went to the temple to offer turtle doves. Why? Because they were obeying the law. Jesus obeyed the law in all things. Now, with that, He didn't obey the traditions of man. That's a difference. You see, men sometimes put traditions and call it law. For example, the Jewish friends that we have today, they put all kinds of things dealing with the Jewish law. For example, they cannot work, meaning they can't turn on a light bulb. It is considered work. They can't light a fire. So even in their refrigerators on Friday night before the Sabbath starts, they have to unscrew the light bulb so when they open up the refrigerator, the light doesn't come on. Because that's considered work. For the Jewish people, they can only go a certain number of steps away from home before they break the law. So they have to count the number of steps they make outside of the home because they didn't want to break the Sabbath. And what they've done is they've come up with a whole list of rules that God did not intend them to have. God didn't give us the Sabbath to put more weight onto us. And wouldn't that be a weight that, oh man, I'm not right with God if I turn on a light switch? That would be horrible, wouldn't it? Oh, I can't be right with God if I take a certain number of steps, if I travel a certain distance away from home. Oh, then I'm not right with God. God doesn't want us to live like that. He never intended for us to live like that. If you don't mind, may I show you some New Testament passages that Jesus is dealing specifically with the Sabbath day? I'm going to reference Matthew 12. Verses 1 through 9, but we're not going to turn there. Turn with me to the gospel record of Mark chapter 2. But for those of you who are taking notes, Matthew chapter 12, 1 through 9 is an important passage dealing with the same thing I'm going to hit. But Mark chapter 2, if you don't mind. Mark chapter 2. And notice with me, starting at verse 23. Mark chapter 2, that's in the New Testament. Mark chapter 2 and verse 23. Notice what's referring to here. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass that he, that's Jesus, went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said to him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? So what had happened is that Jesus and his disciples, they've been preaching all day, and they went through a cornfield, and they picked some corn for them to eat. And the Pharisees said, whoa, you're doing work. Whoa, you broke the law. You are doing work. Well, that's not what God's trying to get across. I mean, they had to eat. Notice what Jesus refers them to, verse 25. And he said to them, have you not read? Now, that's an important phrase. I'm going to develop a message on that later. But several times, Jesus asked the Pharisees all throughout the gospel records, have ye not read? He says, let's see what the Bible has to say. Have you not read what David did when he had need and was hungered and they were with him? He and how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, a high priest, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave to them which were also with them. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord also of the Sabbath. Now he brings them back to God. He says, it's all about God. Man was made not for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. What was the Sabbath made for? It was made because man needed to rest. There was a time he needed refreshing in the Lord. Because you know what? Many of us are workaholics. I am one. And you know what we would do if given the choice? We would always find something to do. You know what? Ladies, there's always a house to clean. There's always laundry to be done. Men, there's always things to tinker with. There's always vehicles that need to be fixed. There's always this and that and that. Always things that need to be done. And you could pile yourself up full of things and not spend time with the Lord. We could get so busy that we fail to spend time with the Lord. But the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath, meaning that all these rules and man has to obey all these rules. Jesus is saying, wait a second. We understand that there are times that things need to be done. Work needs to be done. There are sometimes you got to eat. There's things in here. The Sabbath is not made to hold down and cage man. It is made so man is purposely reminded he needs to pay attention to the Lord. That's what the Sabbath is made for. Notice, if you don't mind, another passage in Luke chapter 14. Here's another time Jesus is accused of breaking the Sabbath. In fact, there are six different times within the gospel records where Jesus is accused of breaking the Sabbath. Six times they say, nah, look, he broke the law. And Jesus said, I didn't break the law. Remember, Jesus is our example, and Jesus never broke the law. He never sinned. You see, if Jesus had broken the Sabbath, that means he's a sinner. If he had broken the fourth commandment, that means Jesus could not have died for our sins. Jesus did not break the Sabbath. What he did is he broke the traditions people came up dealing with the Sabbath. Notice, if you don't mind, in Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter 14, and we see once again another passage here. Notice with me in verse number 1. Luke 14 in verse 1. And it came to pass that as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, they watched him. Now, basically, he was invited to go to someone's house, and they had all the people that hated Jesus, and they were watching him. What's he going to do this time? They're looking for a reason. They're waiting for him to mess up in their eyes. And behold, there was a certain man before him that had the dropsy. Some of you had the dropsies, right? So, and Jesus answered, spoke unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he looked to him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox that fall into a pit will not straightway and pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again on these things. So here's the scene. They're waiting for him to break the law. They're waiting for him to do something on the Sabbath. So they have a guy come in that has a disease that is affecting him very physically. And so he comes in and Jesus says, all right. He says he knew that those guys were examining him and looking for him to do something wrong. So he asked him a question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? You know, to do a miracle, to heal someone, that's work. That is work. And so he said, should I let this man suffer one more day and say, I'm sorry, I can't heal you. Come back tomorrow. or should I go ahead and heal him? Which one is more lawful? Which one is more honoring to the Lord? What is their answer? Not a word. It says that they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he turned to him and said, all right, you hypocrites. He says, which of you guys would have your an ox fall into a ditch? Won't straightway pull him out and say, sorry, ox, I got to wait till tomorrow. You got to be in there all night long. Let's put it this way. If you were driving on the highway and trying to keep within a certain limit and you had a flat tire, isn't everyone in our right mind saying, you know, I'm going to get that tire fixed. I'm not going to let it sit on the highway. No, I'm sorry. I can't fix my car. I know it's got a flat tire and I know it's in the middle of the highway, but I can't fix it because today's the Sabbath day. I can't do work. We understand that there are times that the ox is in the ditch. We understand that doing acts of mercy is encouraged in honoring the Lord. You say, well, there's a little sweet old lady and she's got to change her light bulb. I can't go over today because it's the Sabbath. I'm going to let her stay all night long with the lights not working in her house. Which one would be better, to go and help her or just to let her suffer? We understand that acts of mercy are not breaking the law. That doing things for the Lord is not breaking the law. And sometimes there are emergencies that do happen. Those things happen. Jesus did not break the law when he healed that man, because he couldn't have done that, because he healed it in God's power. That was God that did it. Works of mercy and works of necessity are justified. Remember, the Sabbath is not made to cage people. It's made for man to be reminded we need to worship the Lord. Now, today, in today's age, we don't honor the last day of the week. We honor the first day of the week. And it wasn't man. Some people will start saying that, you know, it's you Christians. You changed the Sabbath. You're breaking the Sabbath. No, God changed it from the last day of the week to the first day of the week. Let me show you a couple passages. If you are there where we left off in Luke, look with me in the Gospel record of John, which is the next book over. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I want you to see that it was the Lord, it was God that adjusted from us, the church, from taking the Sabbath day to moving it to what we call the Lord's Day, which is Sunday, the first day of the week. John chapter 20, and notice with me in verse number 19. John 20 in verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, it's talking about the day that Jesus rose from the dead. He rose, and on that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst unto them and said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them even his hands and his side, and were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So Jesus is meeting with the disciples, not on the Sabbath day, but on the first day of the week. You see, we honor the Lord's Day because this is a day we're reminded that Jesus rose from the grave. Sometimes we set aside Resurrection Sunday one time a year and say, well, this is the time we honor when Jesus rose from the grave. To be honest, every Sunday is a day that we honor that Jesus rose from the grave. This is why we meet on the Lord's Day. It's a reminder. We as Christians, we need to be reminded often. Jesus died for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. He's got victory and he lives forevermore. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. No matter what men may say, I hear his voice of mercy. I hear the voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You see, we serve a risen Savior. And that's why we meet today on a Sunday, the first day of the week, because we are remembering that Jesus rose from the grave. And so it is the Lord himself that moved it from a Sabbath, a Saturday, to the Lord's Day. But the principle still remains, we're to honor the Lord. Notice there's more passages that deals with God moving it from the Sabbath day to the first day of the week. Notice with me in the book of Acts, chapter number 20. Acts in chapter number 20. Acts in chapter number 20. And notice once again, the people are assembling together, the people of the church are assembling them together on a certain day of the week. What day of the week is that according to the Bible? Acts chapter 20, they're coming to listen to the Apostle Paul. And on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, that means they came together for fellowship and to honor the Lord's Supper. They had come together and it was on a Sunday. Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morning, continued his speech unto midnight. Now that was quite a long service. He started in the morning and he preached till midnight and people fell down dead. And some of you are saying, man, preacher sounds that long. I heard someone say, yeah, I know my preacher believes in a 6-day creation, but the way that he preaches, it feels like millions of years. I hope it's not that bad for you. But they assembled together on the first day of the week. They assembled together. That's when the church assembled together to break bread, to have fellowship, and to listen to preaching. That's when the first century church met, which we continue to then. And it was God that moved it, not us. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We see this principle once again. What does the Bible say? Notice if you wouldn't mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Notice with me verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when they come. Here he says, what I want you to do is on the first day of the week, when you gather together, give your tithes and offerings. When he's saying lay into store, that is called storehouse giving. That is another word for tithing. He says, on the first day of the week, when you gather together, bring your tithe. You don't give your tithe, you bring your tithe. So already we have on the first day of the week, it's they gather together because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On the first day of the week, they gather together to break breads, to have fellowship, and to listen to preaching. Now here again, what happens on the first day of the week? It's when they gather together, in addition to gathering, they give their tithes and offerings. Once again, we're seeing a New Testament principle that they now have it the Lord's Day. That is now on Sunday, and that's when they met together. But the principle of honoring the Sabbath still remains. One last passage, let's not turn there, but in Revelation 1:10, that's where John is getting the vision of Revelation, and it says, while I was sitting there on the Lord's Day. By the time of John's writing in 90 AD, it was pretty much established that the first day of the week was the Lord's Day. And it was a day that they had gathered together to honor what the Lord did. That's why we call it the Lord's Day. However, the principle of the Sabbath still remains. And we're going to talk about this. All that's introduction, by the way. Let's talk about how should we approach the Lord's Day. How should we approach the Lord's Day? Turn back with me to the book of Exodus in chapter number 20. The book of Exodus in chapter number 20. What we did is we did some background in trying to explain that the Sabbath day was a day that God set aside for us to be refreshed, to rest in Him, and that it's not made to have rules and regulations to hold us down, but it's there to remind us we need to stop what we're doing and to honor the Lord. And that it is the New Testament principle that God switched it, not us, to meeting not on a Saturday, but on the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. But the principle still remains that the Ten Commandments give us to honor the Sabbath, to enjoy this day that God has set apart with us. But what does this mean? Well, as I said at the beginning, this is the day, this is the commandment we violate the most as Christians, because we misuse this day. Notice, if you don't mind, in Exodus chapter 20, how should we approach the Lord's Day? Well, first of all, it should be a day of reverence. It should be a day of reverence. Notice with me, if you wouldn't mind, in verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, we don't use this day as a holy day. Let's define our terms. The word Sabbath literally means a day of intermission, a period of change. So it's a day where we have an intermission between work, intermission, work, intermission, work. It's made to be an intermission. It's made to help us to reset, to put our attention on the Lord, to be ready to go back to work with the things that have to be done. By the way, none of us can really afford to sit and do nothing all day. God has made us to work. But God has designed it so that way we don't get too busy that we forget about God. God wants to be remembered. The word keep, notice this, it says in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The word keep carries the idea of hedging about. It means to protect, to guard. God says to keep, to guard the Sabbath day, to keep it, to guard it, that it stays holy. Think about your Saturday or Sundays. Does it really feel like it's holy unto the Lord? Well, let's define that term, holy. The word holy means separated unto God. God says, I want a day that you are separated unto me. That means you are at my disposal. You're there to worship, to honor me. By the way, sometimes that means we work. We teach Sunday school classes. We have to do some adjustments. Sometimes we have to run bus routes. We have to pick people up. We have to drive to church. Sometimes it's a busy day. Preachers, by the way, we don't get the Lord's day off. That's our day that we're working and that we're doing a lot of work. It's not meaning laying around. He says, use it to honor me, separated unto the Lord. It's a day of reverence. It's a day that we should use to think about the Lord, not just in Sunday morning services, but all day should be used to keep our minds and our hearts on the Lord. There's a second thing. How should we approach the Lord's day? It should be a day of rest. It's a day of rest. Now, once again, let's define our terms. Look with me, if you wouldn't mind, in the book of Exodus in chapter 31. The book of Exodus in chapter number 31, the Lord is speaking about the seventh day and rested. Notice what he says about this. It should be a day of rest. Exodus 31 and verse number 17. And it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he gave the end of communing with him on Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. In the context, God has just had Moses standing up on the on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, giving him the commandments of how to build the tabernacle. And for the next 9 months, they are going to be building the tabernacle. And God is saying, wait a second. I know that you're going to get so busy doing things for me that you're going to be tempted to fail to spend time with me. And he says, you need to keep the Sabbath. You know, we can get so busy doing things for God that we fail to spend time with God. And you know what? This is where we break that commandment. This is where we could go and teach a Sunday school class or show up to our pew and whatever else. And we could do the things that we're supposed to do, but we fail to spend time with God. You want to know where your rest comes from? Is when you rest in the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Our rest and refreshing comes when we spend time with Him. You know what the church service time is? It's not time to catch up on your sleep. Church services are not meant so that way you look good and you look like a Christian. Service times is meant for us to commune, to be with the Lord and allow Him to speak to us through His Word, to allow our hearts and our minds to be set on Him. That often too many people use the Sabbath as a rubbish day for their mind. That, you know, work, work, work. Well, now I can think about nothing. And then their minds float on everything else on the Sabbath day. Everything but the Lord. You know, we have a hard time concentrating during church service. You're thinking about the cookies and food and weather and this. If you're having a hard time thinking about the Lord while you're in church, you're definitely not thinking about the Lord in between church services or after church. You're thinking about the Green Bay Packers and you're thinking about this and I've got to get this done and I've got to get this done. Now, I'm not saying you're not supposed to get things done, but our minds are not with the Lord. They're with everything else. We're trying to get everything else accomplished in our minds. This is our garbage day. This is our day for our minds where we just let everything else fill our minds up. You know, if it's going to be a day of rest, there has to be some forethought and planning that goes into it. If you're going to let today be a rest, many parents understand that Sunday mornings is not a restful day. Where's your shoes? Where's your clothes? Come on, why do you? We got to leave. Come on, come on, come on. That's not how the Sabbath should be. The Sabbath actually began on the sundown before on the Jewish calendar. So we could take that principle. In order to prepare for Sunday, what you need to do is lay out all your clothes. Find everything. Make sure they're clean. Make sure they're set up. Your shoes are shined. Everything else is set up, ready to go on Saturday night. So that way you're not looking for things. You know, there's so many times that families will come in and they've had World War III in their vehicle. And then all of a sudden they turn off the vehicle. They open the door and everybody smiles and puts their Bibles in. But things haven't been settled. They're not ready to worship and commune with the Lord because they've got through fighting each other. And as soon as they get back in the van, they pick it back up. We need to take steps to prepare our own hearts. Watch what you put in your mind in the mornings. It's not wise to watch TV and to put other junk in your mind before coming to church. You need to have your mind set upon the Lord. You know what? People who don't read their Bible before coming to church, your hearts are not prepared. You can't expect God to work on your life if you haven't already been seeking after Him. By the time you get here, you should already have been spending time with the Lord, ready to have what He gives to us, rather than spend the whole service trying to chisel away pride and flesh. And now finally at the end of the service, I'm now ready to listen to God and it's all over. There should be preparation, thought. Why? Because this is a day of rest. It's a day of refreshing. And our refreshing comes with spending time with God. That's why it is not a refreshing time for even Christians. Because they haven't prepared their hearts to find God, to seek after Him. It's a day of reverence. It's a day where we're supposed to put our attention on God. It's a day of rest that comes refreshing from spending time with God. It is also a day of remembrance. It's a day of remembrance. It's the commandment that we're most likely to forget. That's why God said, remember. You know, He didn't say that for thou shalt not murder. You know, He didn't say, all right, remember, you're not supposed to kill anyone today. He didn't say, remember, you're not supposed to lie. Gentlemen, remember, you're not supposed to commit adultery against your wife today. I just didn't want you to forget. But the one thing He did say, remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Why did He say remember? Because it's the commandment we're most likely to forget. That a Sunday comes and we're so busy trying to get everything else accomplished and we're letting our mind become filled with garbage of all this other stuff for our week and we're letting it fill up. Well, I've got to do this and I got to, that we're not spending it with the Lord. God said, remember, because He knows we're going to forget this. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy is called Deuteronomy because it refers to the second telling of the law. In Exodus chapter number 20, we find the first listing of the Ten Commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, God is letting Moses turn loose, and Moses is reminding the people, a brand new generation of people, of what the Ten Commandments are. And if you would notice, most of these things are exactly the same as in Exodus 20. However, there's one more verse added to this concept of keeping the Sabbath. Notice with me in Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and notice with me in verse number 12. Keep the Sabbath to sanctify it. Now that's a little bit different. To sanctify it. The word sanctified means make holy unto God. Keep the Sabbath to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. He said, all right, don't just remember, God commanded you to keep the Sabbath, to make it holy. Verse 13, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thy ass, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that's within thy gates, nor the manservant, nor thy maidservant, may rest as well as thou. Here he's saying, you know what? If you've got servants and you got people, allow them to take time to worship the Lord, to spend time with the Lord. Now, we understand that there are people who are lost who don't believe the Bible. If they choose to work, that is fine. But we should allow other Christians to go to church if they have the opportunity to. It's just a principle we have. Notice in verse 15. And remember, here's that day of remembrance. And remember that thou was a servant of the land of Egypt, that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. You see, it's a day of redemption. You know what we're supposed to remember? That we are redeemed, that we are a sinner saved by grace. There is none righteous, no, not one. We are not better than everyone else. All we are is sinners saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. That's all we are. We need to remember where we came from, that we offended a holy, righteous God, that the Sabbath day is to remind us we are nothing, God is everything. We are sinners. You know what we do sometimes? We think we're better than other people. And we look down our Pharisaical noses. And you know what? There are many people who are working today. There are restaurants that are open. There are hospitals that open. Police are working. There's stores that are open. And we look down our Pharisaical nose and say, bless God, they shouldn't work on the Sabbath day. Well, you know, we have a hard time keeping this commandment ourselves. We have a hard time. And you know why we do that? Because we feel like we're better than them. I'm keeping the commandments. How come you're not? That's what we're saying, is that we're better than them because we are keeping a commandment. You know what we need to remember? We are sinners. And the only good thing in me is Christ Jesus. We need to remember who God is. Now, we would love to win people to the Lord, encourage them. We would love to make it so that way more people are in church. But for our own selves, for our own hearts, this isn't for everyone else. It's for me. I need to remember I'm a sinner. And the only good thing in me is Jesus Christ. You know what people do with faith? They make it a faith of convenience instead of a faith of commitment. I'll serve God as long as it's convenient to me. And we see that on the Sabbath day. You know, we have Sunday morning and Sunday night. We have Sunday school. We have things set aside to spend this day to bring people's attention to God. And some people say, well, I can make it Sunday morning, but at Sunday night, that's my golf game. I don't want to get that involved. Nope, the Packers are playing. No, I can't make it on Wednesday night because of this or that or that. I understand that if the ox is in the ditch, I understand if you're working, I understand if you're providentially hindered. That means that you have something that you can't get out of. For example, I served in the military. Military, you might understand, you don't get to pick your schedule. If they tell you you're working on a Sunday, guess what? I'm working. That means I'm providentially hindered. That is outside of my control. But if I had the option of taking Sunday off and going to church, guess what I should do? I should take that. And so if you're not providentially hindered, if you're going to obey this, you need to be in church. Why? Not because of the preacher. It's because you need it for your own time with the Lord. You need it to spend time with the Lord. Now, there's no Bible verse that says, bless God, on Wednesday nights, you need to show up in church. But you know what? The principle still remains. You need it. You need three to thrive. You know what a Wednesday night service is? It's that middle tent peg to hold that tent up so it doesn't collapse. You say, well, it's not in the Bible. Well, you know what is in the Bible? That they met daily. If you want, we could switch to that if that'd be more comfortable to you. Or maybe you could just manage to be here on a Wednesday night as well. But, you know, I wouldn't mind every day. I wouldn't mind communing with the Lord. But it's a day of remembrance, not for other people, but for me and for you. We need to remember what God has done for us, and that I am nothing outside of God's power. I am nothing if God isn't doing it. I am nothing because God did everything. And that it's not a faith of convenience, it's a faith of commitment. Because of what God has done for me, I've committed that I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to show up every time the doors are open. If the preacher and his family are painting, I'm going to be there watching, as someone said. You know, that you've just determined, I'm going to be there. I've committed to the Lord. I'm going to honor Him the best I can. In addition, how should we approach the Lord's Day? It's a day of rejoicing. It's a day of rejoicing. Notice again, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. You know what this day should be for us, the Lord's Day? It's a day of rejoicing. When we think about everything God has done for us, and that we have a big God with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, our God is able to get victories. And our God has made a change in my life. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, God's made a change. If God has done something, He's done miracles. It's a day of rejoicing when we take a day to remember how good God is. You know, this day at the end of the day shouldn't be, oh man, I feel like I wasted. I could have got so much done. No, it should be a day that's kept reverent, hallowed to God, because God is worth our time. It is not a waste of time to go to church. It is not a waste of time. You say, but you don't understand. The laundry's piled up. Hey, let me put it this way. Jesus said, "The poor, you will always have the poor." Let me tell you, you're always going to have laundry. All right, you're going to survive. This is a day that we need to honor the Lord. It should be a day of rest, meaning we refresh ourselves in the Lord. Not kick back in the hammock, but it's a day we're refreshed in the Lord. It's a day of remembrance when we remember who we are. It's a day of rejoicing when we remember who He is. That God is a big God. When we lay our heads down at the end of a Sunday, we should be refreshed because, man, I met with the Lord. And I'm glad He was there. It should be a day of rest where we go, I feel I had the power. Not because of me, but because of God. God's going to help me keep going another day. He's going to help me going another week. He's going to help me keep going. It's a day of rejoicing. When we lay our heads down, we can go, you know, God did a lot of good things today. God did this, and God did this, and God did this. It's a day of rejoicing. We'll remember. At the end of the Sabbath day, at the end of the Lord's day, we should be going, wow, what a God. But you know what we do instead? We lay our heads down and we think about all the junk and all the things, maybe legitimate things. But what happens is it crowds out God. And God doesn't get our attention. You know, He set aside a whole day just hoping that some part of the day we might actually take some time to think about Him. Isn't it pathetic that even we could show up to church and you've been there and I've been there, and we didn't spend any part of that whole time communing with God? We were there, sat in our pew, checked out, and we're thinking about everything else, and God doesn't get our attention at all. And that's not God's fault, by the way. And let me give you a hint. It's not the preacher's fault. It's your fault. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. That is your commandment. You are to remember the Sabbath because we're liable to forget it. And it is our job to keep, to guard, to protect the Sabbath, or in our case, the Lord's Day, to keep it holy. So let me ask you this question. How are you doing on this commandment? Now you say, well, I'm doing all right right now. Well, I hope so. I brought your attention to it. But what about last week? What about next week? Maybe some of you just need to make a commitment that, Lord, because of who you are, I'm going to show up Sunday morning. I'm going to show up to Sunday school. I'm going to show up Sunday night. I'm going to show up Wednesday night. Not because the preacher said so, but Lord, I want to honor you and I need that refreshing. Some of you who are busy, and there's several of us who are busy, and night shift workers, it's even harder to keep our minds on the Lord for this day, to be able to commune and spend time with Him. Some of us need to plan better in preparation for the Lord's Day because our minds aren't ready to prepare the Lord. For those of us who have kids, make sure that you have your clothes planned out. For those of you who are above mom and dad picking out your clothes, maybe you need to make sure that you have your clothes picked out. Maybe in order to prepare your own hearts to talk with the Lord and to receive from the Lord, maybe you need to take time to read your Bible and to pray before you get to church. It will make all the difference in the world if you spend time with God and that your hearts are ready for it. But you have the responsibility to remember the Sabbath day, and you have the responsibility to keep it holy for yourself. Because this is the commandment we're most likely to forget. This is the commandment that we as Christians are most likely to oversee and say it's not a big deal. When this is part of God's Ten Commandments, do you realize that God puts just as much weight? In fact, he puts more verses on this commandment than any other verse. He puts more verses dealing with the commandment of keep the Sabbath than he does for murder, than for adultery, than for lying. Why? Because this verse is important to God. And to us, this is the least important of all the verses. Because we have things backwards. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.